Forget it, Robin.
What?
I said forget it.
But this guy's ready to sing.
Let it go. The police can take it from here. Go get the Batmobile.
What?
Now! All right, Scumbucket. It's you, me, and 30 stories. You're gonna tell me exactly what I want to know.
Thank you for checking out the One Best Podcast, Batcast Edition. I am your host, Andrew Karachi, alongside
Andrew Quimby.
And the way you always say that just freaks me out. and Mr. Andrew Quimby. Mr. Quimby, what do we have in store tonight?
Tonight we are going to be discussing 4 episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Well, it's technically 3. One's a 2-parter.
But yeah, see, well, it's technically 4.
Yeah, it's technically 4, but it's really 3. That's
what. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. 3, 4, who knows? I don't know.
It's 3 episodes.
Fine. All right.
And do you have the episode's names, or do you want me to say it?
We have a Bane episode, and then we have Robin's Reckoning, which is the 2-parter. And then we have
Old Wounds. Which is part of the New Adventure. So the series that was airing at the same time as Superman the Animated Series, when they redid the animation. How did you like the animation, by the way? Do you like that better than the other ones?
It seems like a more crisp animation. But I didn't notice like any drastic, like shocking changes between the two of them. I don't know.
Didn't notice the difference in the Joker?
I did, yes, actually. That's the only thing that really keyed it in for me.
I think that's like one of the worst animated Jokers.
Really?
I like the one from the original Batman animated series.
What is this one, just too smiley for you?
No, I like the yellow teeth, the long nose, the definition in the eyes, not just no eyes. This Joker had like no eyes. I think his teeth is white and his face was much smaller, and he's just like a stick rather than like a full-size human being.
Okay.
My problem with that animation style was they made everybody smaller. And yeah, I get it, because the original animated series did a lot of big shoulders and everybody just seemed big. I think mm-hmm. I just kind of liked it like that.
See, I think it's less bulky characters are easier to animate and be able to do more action and movement.
Yeah,
it's right. A lot easier for less bulky characters, so that's probably why they went in that direction.
No, they went in that direction because they wanted it to look like the same animation as Superman the Animated Series. Because Superman the Animated Series had a different animation style, and they upgraded Batman to that style. Because otherwise, if they would have brought Batman back, they wouldn't have changed it. They would have just made it slightly different, but they wouldn't have changed, because they drastically change a lot of the characters. And I feel like a couple of the characters for the better, like Scarecrow, obviously, we did talk about that a couple weeks ago. Scarecrow was a better version of it. I like that one better. Two-Face was kind of the same. Killer Croc looks way different. I like the way he looks in the animated series. The New Adventures, he's green. He looks more like a crocodile. Kind of like the one from Beware the Batman.
Yeah, okay.
He looks more similar to that. And that's what he starts to look like as the as he gets animated going forward. But the Bane is different. The New Adventures Bane I like a little better than the one from this one. And I like the one from this one. But yeah, that's enough about that. You can check out the podcast on Google, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are available, just search One Best Podcast. Or I think sometimes if you search Backcast, we might show up in that too. You can check us out on Facebook, search Backcast Weekly. There you can comment on any, that's where all the episodes I upload to. You can comment directly to that. I have access to that, and we can give you direct feedback and talk about it on the show. You can leave a comment on those on any of those links. We'll read your comment here on the air. If you have a question, we feel free to post whatever you want to post, and it can create a discussion board, because you know we're all about that. This show will go wherever you guys want it to go. So right now we're just kind of doing our thing, but if we feel that you guys want to talk more about Superman, we'll talk more about Superman. You guys want to talk more about Killer Croc and have a Killer Croc podcast, it'd be kind of difficult, but we could swing that if there's enough people that want to do it, obviously. Check out our last week's podcast. We reviewed the Zack Snyder cut Justice League movie. I have a feeling that one's gonna get up in the 60s before it's said and done. Like, I feel like it will peak out there. I feel like it's gonna jump some episodes, because I think it's at 20 right now, which is pretty high for a first week episode for us.
Oh yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's at 18 or 19. Might even be at 20 as we speak.
Ooh.
I didn't check before we went live. I checked it when I got home from work today. It was at 18. So,
okay.
And it was at like 16 this morning. So it's gradually moving up. So yeah, check out our Zack Snyder cut podcast. It's the Karachi cut version of it. So you can check out... You can check out the Karachi cut, Zack Snyder Justice League cut, Justice League, pod Backcast Andrew, in that order.
Yes.
Exactly. If I didn't just lose the room there, as someone just went off the road trying to calculate that in their head while they're driving. If you're listening to us while you're doing your commute, just make sure you're paying attention to the road. If you're driving early in the morning, just remember, especially if it's dark out and you're taking those country roads, watch out for deer, especially if you're like in the northern state areas, because there's a lot of them. They like to run out in front of cars, and they like to stop and stare. So just pay attention to that.
I thought you were going to take that in a completely different direction. I thought you were going to go with, like, comment anyways. It's okay. It's worth a car accident. I thought that's the direction you were going to go with.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're commenting while you're driving, I wouldn't want, you know, your car can be fixed, but that comment might lose your mind at some point. So make sure you get that out while you're driving. And make sure you get that out before you, like, look up at the road. Like, just get that out there real quick. Because that's more important. Yes, you're correct. Andrew is correct. Now, remember, that was Quimby that is saying that. I'm endorsing that. But it was Quimby's original idea. So he's running for office on that campaign. So the you can check it out there. On Twitter, at Pinfall Wrap Up still. Got to get a Twitter. Because I keep forgetting to do that, and that's about it. Email, you can email the show at onebestpodcast@gmail.com. There is where Mr. Quimby is searching through his filing cabinet, pulling out the important emails that we will share on this show. If you take the time to write, we'll take the time to fight. It just sounded better if it would rhyme, but no, if you take the time to write, we'll read it. So it doesn't really rhyme, but yeah, we'll fight too.
I would stick with the first version. It just sounds better.
It makes no sense, but it sounds good.
Like, hey, you could, I guess in a vague sense, you could say that we're fighting about our opinions on things. Maybe.
Yeah, if we ever get like a real picture for this pod, it'll just be a picture of us with boxing gloves on. And then And people just be really confused. We'll just call it, we'll rename the show Bat Fights. And we'll just split up every category into rounds and we'll have the people vote on who won that round in that bat argument.
Oh boy.
That is $1 million idea.
Right? I actually do like that idea.
That is $1 million idea. That somebody who has a bat podcast just heard while listening to this, and I guarantee I'll be seeing bat fights on the Apple podcast search engine thing in a couple of weeks when I search for it.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks.
Right, right. So, with that, do we have any emails?
We do have an email from Mr. J.
Oh, nice to hear from him again. We didn't hear from him last week.
We have another question, query from... All right, let me read this here. Hello, guys. This week, I would like to pose a question to you for you. Think about the setting of Batman the Animated Series. Imagine a live-action Batman placed in the setting of the 20s, with the Zeppelins more prevalent and the gadgets with the odd mix of television and photography. What would you think of it? What would you think of it done realistically? A darker adult movie or possibly series done in that respect? What do you think of then? Who would you like to play Batman or a Joker or Alfred? Possibly other characters you like. Not Toad, because that is just weird. I hope this sparks some good discussions. Let pondering commence.
So I think he's referring to Beware the Batman Toad.
What are you kidding? Toad needs to be there. We need a live action Toad.
We need a live action Toad. Danny DeVito. But
done. That's it. Danny DeVito's live action Toad now.
So if you're talking about a live action kind of variation of the animated series, we kind of already saw it in the Tim Burton film. I wouldn't say it was a 1920s look, but they had the big cameras. The TVs were black and white, I believe. Did they have Zeppelins in that movie?
Maybe.
They might have.
I feel like we may have seen them in like the distance.
Did they have blimps?
That's the same thing.
But, well, okay, sorry. So, yeah, East Coast, West Coast. I get it. So the...
What?
Kind of like how they call it different hemispheres, like typhoons are tsunamis and tsunamis are typhoons. Boom.
I didn't know that, but okay.
You did not know that. So
in no.
Another hemisphere, because I don't know which one we are, they call tsunamis typhoons. We call them tsunamis.
Huh.
It's the same thing. It's just, we don't call them typhoons here. We call them tsunamis.
Strange.
Yeah.
All right, then.
So, anyways, I would have to say, like, the Tim Burton film was kind of like that, because it did have that comic book feel to it. It did have kind of a, 19, like an old animated series vibe to it, even though it came out before the animated series. The animated series was inspired by Batman 89. So it really was, because if you look at just how Joker was made, like, yeah, you have difference between Joker or Mark Hamill and Jack Nicholson by a character standpoint, but by the way they looked, the way they would kind of act, they were pretty similar, except with the other one having like a much more X-rated version of it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Because one's for kids and one's isn't. Killed that motherfucker. All right, so.
Oh, God.
That was a big one, too. So
the bug hunt segment of the show that always happens.
Yeah, I killed a ladybug. It's getting that time of the year. Not a ladybug, a Japanese beetle. or a Jap bug. Why not? Let's get flagged. We're already almost there anyways. So.
Oh, God.
So, but I think what he's going for is the film noir style is going to be my guess, is what he kind of means by it. Because Batman 89, I wouldn't say it was film noir style. It was Tim Burton style. It was a Tim Burton film with Batman in it. Because it wasn't really, none of the characters were really true to their actual characters. But they kind of, it was fine because it looked good. It had that feeling. But if, honestly, I'm just going to stick really old school with it. And I'm, my Batman, especially if I could make it from any time period, I'm casting Kevin Conroy as Batman. I think he's got the voice, and I'm just going to tell him to get in shape, and he's my Batman. Obviously, he'd be a younger Conroy, probably more in his late 30s than his, like, 60s, I think he's in now. But, like, that would be my Batman, just because we kind of already know what it could sound like, and I mean, he's not some fat, overweight dude. He's, you know, normal-looking dude. You could make him. If Michael Keaton can play Batman, anybody can play Batman. So, and that's not a shime to Michael Keaton, but Michael Keaton is just a dude. Like, he's not a Christian Bale. He doesn't look like Christian Bale. He's just a normal dude that got in shape and played Batman.
Yeah.
And that's what I would tell Conroy to do. I don't know how tall he is, but I don't know how tall Keaton is. I think Keaton's 6 feet. I think he's a little taller than most actors. Alfred, I don't know. Not Michael Caine. That would actually be my addition, is I would have people... on my script, it would say not Michael Caine. Just don't be that character. No Nolan. I don't want any Nolan in my movie. None of that shit.
I feel like Alfred should be limited to his. I like his limited to two snarky comments per episode kind of Alfred.
Yes.
That's the Alfred I like.
I like the Alfred from the...
Or Beware the Batman Alfred. That's a good Alfred.
Yes. So you either want all or nothing.
Yes.
My Alfred would be... I like the guy that played him in Tim Burton's movie, honestly. I just didn't like him after that movie. But he was fine in that movie. The Tim Burton. Like the Batman 89.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Jim Gordon, I think I would go with the actor who played Red Foreman, just because he voiced him in Beware the Batman, and I think that'd be hilarious to see him as a Jim Gordon, that style Jim Gordon.
Not the Gotham Jim Gordon.
No. Well, you know, now I kind of want to cast him my Batman. Because I do like that guy. I think that's his name.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
I don't know. I'm terrible with names.
Yeah. I feel like Stephen Amell needs to be in this movie at some role, just because, you know, he's not doing anything Batman right now.
You want to just, I feel, make like him he could. Yeah, he could pull off Batman.
Yeah, in a Nolan verse, he could be a good Batman, because...
I feel like he could be smart, though. See, what about Rob?
What about like a Nightwing or something?
Yeah, he could. All right, yeah, he can be Nightwing. How about that?
A younger Stephen Amell. We'll make him Nightwing, not Robin, because that assumes we're not going to try to tell people that Stephen Amell is 15 years old when he's clearly in his 30s. We're not going to try to fool people.
What? Come on.
We're not Schumacher, okay? And what? Is that really, who would be Joker? Would we just stick with Jack Nicholson? Because that just seemed to work. I know you don't like him, but
Yeah.
Or should we have to make fine. A rule, or we have to change it up? Like, we can't use a character that's already played that character.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be different.
Fuck it then. Tommy Lee Jones. We'll just cast him instead. Because he wanted to play him anyways. We'll even give him the Two-Face. We'll give him the whole Two-Face getup and everything, but he'll just call himself Joker. He won't even get it because he never read a comic book in his life. Probably doesn't even know what the Joker looks like. So, like, it'll be a joke on him. And then Riddler. I don't know. I think Jim Carrey really works for it. That was a perfect casting.
Yeah, that one was actually really good. I don't know if we can mess with that one.
No. The only guy I would say that might have played it better was the guy who played him in Gotham.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Otherwise, that's like, other than, yeah, he was really good at him in that, too.
Okay, so our Batman will be Gordon from Gotham.
All right.
Nightwing's going to be Stephen Amell because I want him in this movie. Just because I like Stephen Amell.
I figured out who Robin's going to be.
Wait, no. You know what? Maybe we should make him Batman. Should we make Stephen Amell Batman?
See, I feel like he... Yeah, I feel like Stephen
Amell... He's big enough. He's got the aesthetic.
Yeah. He's got the aesthetic pretty boy look. But I feel like he can pull off smart if he needs to.
Okay. And he's played the superhero genre before. It would just be really weird because he's typecast the Green Arrow. So it'd be really weird seeing him as Batman. Like, that's the character he was acting as anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll just use him. We'll just see how it works.
I think he could do it. I think he could bring the right... He's got the charisma.
Right. And let's use the kid who played Bruce Wayne in Gotham. I want to use him, too, because he did a tremendous job.
He can be Robin.
A young Bruce. You mean Dick Grayson or Tim Drake or which Robin?
The kiddish version where he's like a teenager. Because he actually looks young enough to be a teenager.
So Tim Drake. Yeah, yes. Because Tim Drake is intelligent. He can pull off the silent type. Little to himself. That'll work.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Tommy Lee Jones as Joker. This is going to be a train wreck movie, by the way.
No one could afford to make it.
No one can afford to make this. God. I feel like we need the guy who played Damian Dark in this movie for something. Because he's always great.
Could he be Two-Face?
No, it wouldn't work. Not because he's charismatic. So it'd have to be a charismatic villain.
Mm-hmm.
And witty. Almost like a Ra's al Ghul. Like, that would be the character. But it's so weird because he kind of comes from that background in Arrow, so I don't really want to give him, like, the same role.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see. I think Riddler could work, like an older Riddler. I think it could work. Yeah, where he's always on top of things.
Okay, what if? Okay, throwing this out there. What if he was Beware the Batman style Alfred?
You want to cast him as a good guy, though. He's such a good villain.
Yeah. But, yeah.
He's such a good villain.
Yeah.
You could make him Anarchy, who's not going to be in this movie. But.
Okay.
I don't know. I think
he can be
a villain.
Can he be the guy that works with the whatever the hunts? What was the guy who worked with Toad that I'm blanking on right now?
Professor Pig.
He could be Professor Pig. With Danny DeVito as Toad.
Yes. Done. Okay. Who else are we missing here? Who else can we get in this movie? This train wreck. This is going to be like one of those like the Expendables, but Batman version. There's a couple other guys we need a Bane. We need a guy to play Bane. And I think we need to go and use a pro wrestler for Bane because we need someone big.
Yeah, who's like the biggest pro wrestler kind of dude that like
that's in Hollywood that's not The Rock?
Yeah, like nah, he's too pretty. He's too pretty boy. We don't want to hire a pretty boy because you're not going to see his face anyways. He wears a mask.
What about John Cena?
Like, what about Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar can't act.
I don't care, man. We'll make it. We'll get
the part. I feel
we're
like
gonna Brock throw money Lesnar, at him no, to no, get no. actors.
Hear me out. Hear me out. I feel like Brock Lesnar would be more intimidating as Brock Lesnar than as Bane. Like Brock Lesnar should just be in the movie as Brock Lesnar.
What's the one guy? I'm blanking. He's an actor. He's in a bunch of different movies. He's Batista? Always like the Batista.
Batista's kind of like that Vin Diesel type. Like, I don't know. It could work, but he's big enough, definitely big enough and intimidating enough. But I feel like John Cena's doing movies. He definitely, you know, he's not a terrible actor.
John Cena is a tiny person, though.
No, he's not. Do you know how big John Cena is?
In every movie I've watched a couple of his movies. He always looks like he's the smallest guy on screen.
What? He's like 6'5".
Is he really? I've always assumed John Cena was like 5'10".
No,
because he always seems like he's so much smaller than everyone else, especially when you see him like in wrestling.
He might be 6'3", but he's like 6'3". He's 260 some pounds. Like he's huge.
Really? I always thought he was a tiny guy.
Yes. He always looks so tiny. He's even massive. In Hollywood, he'd be even more massive. Like he's not as big as The Rock, because The Rock's 6'5". So Cena, I think, is 6'3".
Okay, but, I have the official numbers in for the record.
Okay, what's he?
He is 6'1".
He's 6'1".
Yep.
About 255.
It doesn't show me his weight. It just shows me his age. I guess I could figure out his weight. Wait. 251. Who knows how old this is? He's 43 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
That can work.
I don't know. I feel like I don't see him. I'd rather have The Rock than him.
And well, me too. The Rock would fit at all. The Rock wouldn't fit just because he's too charismatic.
Yeah.
Cena is charismatic too, but in a different way. Like I feel like Cena, what do we go a completely different direction with it then? Let's try to get some so you like the Brock Lesnar idea.
How about Big Show?
Too big.
Too big?
Too big. He's like 7 feet tall. That's too big. He would be by far bigger than anybody on the set, like by double. Like he would look like he ate Stephen Amell.
Well, in the episode we watched, he was towering over everybody.
Yes, but that's because so Bane is about 3 inches taller than Batman. Batman is listed at 6'5", I think. But if an actor is going to play him, he'll probably be about 6 foot because you have to scale it down because there's no like real 6'5" actors out there. They don't really exist. And if they do, they're wrestlers. So, or they're athletes of some sort. So You're gonna go 6 foot for the taco. What? No, 6 foot taco.
I know we said we can't reuse the same people, but what's the guy who actually played Bane in the Rises
Tom
movie?
Tom Hardy. I think Tom Hardy's only like 5'9", 5'10". They just put him on. They just made him look big. That's what I'm saying. We don't have to get a guy who's 6'5". We can get a guy who's 6'2" and make him look 6'5". But we also got to remember that Stephen Amell, I think, is 6 feet tall. Or he's 6'1". You're pretty tall. How about you just play Bane?
Okay, fine. I'll just play Bane in this movie.
Yeah, so Andrew will be Bane. be this totally like out of the order. They'll be like, who the hell is this dude? So we need you to get in shape, and now you can be Bane in this movie that's never going to be produced.
Man, I guess if they pay me enough money. Ironically, as I googled to see a picture of Bane from Dark Knight Rises, one of the articles that pops up is Dave Bautista wants to play Bane.
All right, then fuck it. We don't have to pay him much because he wants to play the role. So
yeah.
All right, we'll use Bautista.
All right.
I feel like Ryan Reynolds needs to be in this movie, but he needs to be like killed in the first scene. Just because it'd be funny. He can be. We'll open the movie with a guy falling from the building.
Make him Bruce's. Let's make him Bruce's dad.
And he's falling from a building. We're gonna change the backstory. We're just gonna open up the movie with him falling from a building, or just falling. No building. He's just falling from the sky. Oh, you know what? We'll make him the Green Lantern, but his ring doesn't work. And he just falls. Dies. No?
Come on. You can't just settle for him getting shot in an alley. Come on now.
No. It's got to be like, he needs to be dressed up as like Deadpool or something and just die. So we can finally end that stupid argument that Deadpool killed the entire DC universe. Yeah, okay. That's because somebody wrote it. Like, I don't know. It's like, not to me, that wouldn't happen. I don't care that he can't die. That doesn't mean he can just kill everybody. That's not what that means. Vandal Savage is also immortal. He didn't kill the whole DC and Marvel universe. And he might be just as skilled as Deadpool. Because he's been around for so long. Who knows what skills he has?
Mm-hmm. So does that... Have we covered all the characters now?
I think so. I'm sure Mr.
I forgot
J
one more.
Is...
What about Catwoman?
Oh. Stephen Amell. Let's make him that too. He'll play two roles.
I don't care. So disturbing.
Who do you want to use?
I don't know. Whatever her name who played Wonder Woman, we'll have her play Catwoman now.
God. You're just gonna get people hating this movie.
Well, I just want to create the most ridiculous just actor budget that's ever existed in movies.
Can we use Jensen Ackles or whatever from Supernatural? Can we use him as a Red Hood?
Sure. Yeah. Why not? I like it.
What's this movie even about? It has the Joker. It has Tim Drake. No Dick Grayson.
We've actually moved beyond planning a single movie. We're planning an entire Batman animated universe or Batman live action universe at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a Bane in this movie. We have Joker in this movie. We have Riddler in this movie. What is this movie? What's the plot?
The League of Villains fights Batman.
And you know the name of the movie is just going to be called Boo, Haunted House. Batman edition.
All right.
So, Batman with that long budget tangent, now I hope that before we get into these episodes, you play that clip. Well, this has all become tremendously boring as we get into our actual episode.
I think to be fair, that was perfect. Probably the most interesting thing we've ever...
Yes, yes. It was a great question, by the way.
Yes. But
we went on way too long on it.
Keep them coming, Mr. J.
Yep. Appreciate it as always. So, should we just discuss Bane right off the bat?
Yeah.
Okay, so the name of the episode is called Bane. This came out in the DVD box set is listed as the third season. I think technically on here it's listed as the second season because there's the way the episodes air were kind of weird. But this is when they were at their. This is when the animated series was at its peak, where they had everything was more crisp. They kind of had an identity of the show. So they were cranking out good episode after good episode after good episode as far as from a storytelling perspective and even at an animation perspective. Like, I saw a difference between this and the Scarecrow one we reviewed. Like, there was, to me, there was a clear difference. Like, they know what their strengths are. They know what their weaknesses are. Batman had more dialogue. He wasn't just, like, the no lines main character that he seems to be in a lot of these episodes.
Yeah.
So overall, I enjoyed the episode. It's one of my, if I made a top 10 list, I don't think it would make it because there are some great episodes, but this is definitely one of the best Bane episodes. And this is the only Bane episode of this version of the animated series. He doesn't appear again until the New Adventures. And he's never a main villain anymore.
Does he look different in the New Adventures?
Yes, the New Adventure. He's got a black. He looks like he did in Mystery of the Batwoman.
Oh, okay.
Where he has the black mask and the black tank top, rather than the traditional wrestling gear that he's wearing in this, the luchador gear.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I did like the fact that they. Like, this wasn't necessarily supposed to be a mystery episode, but they did inquire a little bit of that into it by having Batman figuring out that Rupert Thorne was the one who hired him just based off of who he is. Mm-hmm. It was just he used common sense to figure out who hired Bane. Because he even said to Alfred, he's like, the number one question is, who wants to eliminate me? And Alfred's like, oh, it's going around the block. Everybody wants to do that. Who has enough money to do it? Who has $5 million to spend?
I know, and then Alfred had to give him the answer because he obviously didn't know.
Yeah, he just showed up a newspaper, and Batman's like, "Alfred, you're a genius." No, that's in the alternate version, the director's cut version. No,
mm-hmm.
The Nolan version.
Because apparently, newspapers just come out and they just have a guy's name as the headline.
Well, no, they talked about, because they referenced that newspaper in the beginning of the episode where he talked about a crime that they couldn't pin it on when he was reading the paper. So that paper already was established.
Okay.
But it'd be kind of weird that Batman would just have a newspaper sitting in the Batcave, like he just reads the newspaper.
I'm sure he does. He probably consumes all forms of news.
I feel like that'd be something where he'd be drinking coffee up at the... upstairs in the kitchen as Bruce. I don't know if he'd bring I don't think he's sitting in the Bat Cave in a full Bat uniform reading the newspaper. It'd be kind of funny to see it. Or do you think it's for Alfred? You think Alfred reads it while he's waiting for Batman to come home?
See, but you gotta remember, he comes in. By the time he's done with his night, the newspapers are probably coming out. So right. He probably reads the newspaper as he's like undressing and getting ready to go to bed for the day.
We're thinking way too much of this, but yeah, you're probably right.
Isn't that what we do here? we go into the most random aspects of these episodes and just spend 20 minutes on the newspaper.
So, do you like how they... So, the way they tell this story is interesting because they... Bane, the thing I like about it is most villains that want to challenge Batman, they'll either straight up challenge him or some type of elaborate scheme. Bane was pretty simplistic. He's like, well, I have to figure out, I need to study the bat. So his version of studying the bat is beating up Killer Croc. I don't know how that really studies Batman, but I guess in his own weird logic way that works.
Yeah, but, I feel like he should have like watched Killer Croc fight Batman.
I think like he did it out of order. Maybe he just wanted to beat up Killer Croc, or did he do it so he could? He left Killer Croc alive, obviously, so Killer Croc could send a message to Batman, practically, because he figured that Croc would tell Batman who he was. So he kind of put maybe a sense of fear in Batman. That was step one. He wanted Batman to fear him. That didn't really work. So also he trashed his car to send a message like saying it's on. Like we're going to get it on at some point. Because he could have been just waiting out there and maybe had a quick little fight with him and then run away and then lure him somewhere. But he didn't do it like that.
No.
So then he knew that Batman would figure out that Rupert Thorne was the one that hired him because he knew that he was being spied on, which was pretty interesting that he knew that Robin was across the street like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he saw him, but something tells me that like that'd be the obvious thing. But then, because they don't really do a good job in these by having them hide, but it's implied that they're hiding. You can suspend your disbelief a little bit there.
Yeah.
So Bane knows he's being spied on. And so then he goes to the one logical spot that someone would be spying on him. I don't know if he knew that it would be Robin up there or if he knew it was going to be Batman. Maybe he thought it was going to be one or the other. Or maybe he thought that Batman would send Robin to do the recon while he followed Candace. Yeah, that's exactly what it was, because Bane knew that he was following Candace. Remember she said that?
Mm-hmm.
So, I like that. It shows, this episode had so much of the intelligence of Bane.
Yeah, like he wasn't just the brute, he outplayed Batman, basically.
Mm-hmm. He knows
Batman set his trap. Yeah, he set a trap where he thought Bane was going to be, but Bane turned around and set a trap for Batman.
Right, because then he caught Robin, and I think he originally was going to kill him, and then he just said, you may be of use of me. So he's going to use him as bait, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Robin's role in this episode. He's the damsel in distress. And that's a little unfortunate because I hate it when they do that with him, but
at least he was taken down by Bane.
True. He was taken down on screen for once. The last time he was damsel in distress, he was taken off screen by Ra's al Ghul, if you remember that one.
Yeah.
At least he was on screen and he put up a little bit of a fight.
Yeah, he actually did surprisingly well against Bane. Like when he was like hanging him off the building and then he just did like his fancy acrobatic move and like flipped him around and then it's like got out of his grip.
In the wrestling world, they call that an arm drag. So he gave him an arm drag. So,
all right.
That was pretty cool. And then, he said he'll be some. He's like such a lot of fight for such a small man.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a little impressed by it.
Yeah, and I feel like he was impressed enough. So like Candace was gonna pull his mask off to see who he was, and he stopped her.
Yes.
And was like, oh, there's plenty of time for that later. But I really feel like that was like he's earned the respect to keep his mask on, kind of thing.
I think you're right.
Because he's not, very big Robin's on his whole mask thing.
Yeah. And because they kept referencing the whole mask thing earlier in the episode too. But he even said, like, I'm not here for his whole purpose is to kill Batman. Robin's just a casualty of war. He doesn't care who Robin is. That doesn't matter. It's his job is Batman, and he takes pride in his job. He's a hired assassin. He's like a Deadshot or a Deathstroke, but he does it differently than those guys do, because those guys like to do it from a distance, a snipe job or whatever. He likes to get up close and personal.
Yep.
And he wants to... He's like a hunter, and he takes enjoyment in, because, you know, there's people that hunt for sport, and then there's people that hunt for survival. There's people that hunt as a job. Like they're hired by farmers or whatever to go out and hunt or whatever. And there's the people that enjoy hunting. They do it as a sport. And I feel like that's what Bane does. He's the one who likes to hunt for sport.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he could just show up to, he could have probably killed Batman or attempted to a couple of times before, but he wanted to do it in a way where he defeats him and humiliates him.
Mm-hmm.
So he lures him to his wrestling boat ring.
And yeah, I will say, as I was watching the Batman Bane fight, I literally was like, I feel like there should be wrestling commentary over this right now.
I was commentating it when I was watching it, because there was a fucking clothesline. There was a couple Hurricane Ranas. I was like, yeah, let's do this. I was hoping for like a Stone Cold Stunner next, but no Stunner. We were doing the Luchador moves.
Yeah.
So
it felt very much like I was just watching a wrestling match, and I'm like, this is just a wrestling match. Like, these are just wrestling moves. They're just doing wrestling moves right now.
But it worked, didn't it?
They might as well be in just a straight up wrestling ring while they're doing this. Like, they even do the thing where they threw him against the side of the boat, and he hit the ropes and then flew back at him and everything. It was just like, oh my God, this is straight up a wrestling.
Right. And I think that was by design, because
he
has the Luchador background, and he wanted to beat Batman in a fight, almost like a match. Like, it felt like a match. It didn't feel like a fight to the death. It felt like a match, like competition almost. And then Batman had to like shoot him with a fucking huge ass boat grappling gun thing, shoot him off the boat so he could save Robin, which that's why they did that. And, you know, Bane comes back up and they do the round two. Round two was pretty good too, because it seemed like didn't matter what Batman threw at him, Bane, there's nothing Batman could do. He even got desperate and threw a batarang at him.
He was angry. Yeah, he was angry then because he disrespected the match by shooting him.
Right, I think that's what it was. He disrespected him, and then he threw the batarang at him, and that just disappointed him. He like caught it, and he's like, "Toys, you tried to fight me with pathetic toys," and he just bends the damn thing. But I'm like, man, this is so much better than the Tom Hardy Bane. I just really enjoyed this.
Yep.
It just shows that you can do this and it could work. And then he even does the pose where he's about to break Batman's back. And then, of course, Batman not playing by the rules again. And I think the way he justifies it is he does that because he's pumping juice into his head to make himself big. He's already cheating. He's already juicing. Mm-hmm. So anything goes at that point.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way they wrote it. Like, it seemed like he was powerless without the juice. Because once when the juice was taken out of him, he shrunk down to a small, looked like a small man.
Yeah, because it seemed like he had a constant flow of juice. It just, he would turn it up when he was going to fight.
That's what it looked like. I don't like that, but they do change that in the new adventures where he's already a big guy and the juice just makes him like bigger. Like he could just makes him stronger. Because when Batman cuts the rope off of him in the rematch, he's still strong enough where he can fight.
Yeah.
So they did fix that. But it was a terrifying way for him to go down. I remember I saw this when I was 6 years old for the first time. I think I was six or seven when this aired. And I remember the kids on the block, they were talking about that there's going to be Bane. Bane's coming to Batman. We saw advertisements for it all week. And I think we saw the rerun. Because I think this episode came out in 93, which would have made me... maybe six or five. I don't remember. But, like, I remember that. And seeing it for the first time, I thought he killed Robin. Because you remember, when I watched it at live time, mm-hmm. they went to commercial break after he strangled Robin. And then when he hung him, like, from his arm or whatever, they went to commercial break. I thought they killed him. And then something happened where I never saw the rest of the episode. That's all I saw. So when I think they either cut it out or something else took its place or something happened where they didn't finish the rest of the episode. And so this entire time, like I remember talking to friends and that kind of stuff, I thought he was dead. Because I remember some of my friends who read comics, they told me that Robin dies in the comics, referring to Jason Todd, but I didn't know there were multiple Robins.
Yeah.
So, like, I was thinking, like, oh, maybe he's dead.
Okay.
So
that's brutal. That's a brutal thing right there.
Robin. I thought Bane killed Robin. For years, I thought Bane killed Robin. Until the DVD came out of it, and then I saw it for the first time. And that would have been seventh grade when I saw it for the very first, like the full episode. So that was actually the first episode I went to watch. Because I'm like, okay, I'm older now. I can see this now. Because it scarred me. I thought Bane was the most terrifying character that they've ever done. And I think that's why we didn't see more episodes of him. Because he's terrifying.
Yeah. I'm surprised this isn't ranked higher on your list of episodes, considering you have that big of a connection to it.
Well, that's the thing. I really don't, because I didn't see it until later, where the ones that are higher up, I had VHS versions of it, and I used to watch them constantly. Like the episode we're going to review next in Robin's Reckoning, because I had that on VHS, so I have the majority of that episode memorized word for word, because I used to watch it nonstop. So, we have the side story with Candace, and apparently I think Mr. J was right about Candace, right? This all kind of came flourishing here. This proved all of it. She fights Robin in the water. That was just dumb. And I think the reason they did that was they needed something for Robin to do while Batman was going to fight Bane. I think that's the only reason why that was in there. And yeah, it seemed like it was a team-up fight. That's why I feel like if they didn't have to use Robin, they would have used, Catwoman or some type of woman character to fight the other girl. It just seems kind of weird when you've seen, you know, Robin, Robin's probably, 16, 17 years old?
Okay, yeah, something like that.
And he's fighting a woman with no fighting skills. And he's an acrobat, and they're in water. Or do you think that he probably would have an advantage?
Yeah, you'd think he'd have an advantage just because, you know, he's been trained.
Right. But that was just there for that purpose, to have him do something while Batman fought Bane. That's the only reason.
I feel like it would have been, if they had just They should have just had Batman like raise the crane before, and then they start the fight or something like that. So then Robin was still tied up, but he could fight Bane one on one.
Well, I think they wanted to show a little violence for Candace. Like, I think they wanted to do something with Candace. Like, him, either have her branch off and do her own thing, or be a character in the DCU. But this was the last episode she was in. She doesn't come back again, which makes me believe, the way the episode ended, that Rupert Thorne had her killed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool that they don't really imply that at all. You just have to kind of jump to conclusions to figure that part out. Because let's be real. This was the Mafia, and you were caught on tape talking about mutiny on the fucking Don. You're not going to be around very long. Doesn't matter what your gender is.
Yep.
So that was Bane.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you like about it?
It was
I Bane, babbled pretty much all of that one.
Bane, I don't know. I've, of the ones we watched, I feel like that was the one I liked the most. Just because I feel like Bane was just such an interesting character.
Yeah, it's interesting because I wish we would have gotten another Bane episode. Because
he's got that mix of physically terrifying and yet mentally terrifying kind of thing.
Yeah. He's one of the more interesting characters in the Batman universe. I've always been a fan of him.
Yeah, because he's not just a brute. He's everything he's doing is calculating to make it to a goal.
Right.
And it's yeah.
He likes to humiliate and dominate who he's fighting, and he made Batman a hobby. To him, it was an honor to be the one to take down the Bat. He didn't have anything against Batman. It was like, he got hired. He's like, this is a big chance. This is a big honor. I'm going to fight Batman, and I'm going to prove that I'm better than he is. That's why he didn't fight dirty. He didn't fight dirty at all, other than pumping juice into his head. But to him, that's what makes him him.
Yep.
But he didn't use weapons. He didn't need them. And I think that was the point.
Yep. Well, he did. Destroyed his car with his bare hands.
Right.
Who needs weapons? You have a ding
in your car, sir.
Well, let's get into Robin's Reckoning.
Robin's Reckoning. This is one of my favorite episodes.
So we basically got to see Robin's origin story, basically.
Right. And I really wanted you to see this because the last, all the episodes we've done have, the ones we reviewed, they've not done Robin very well. Story purposes. He's either damsel in distress or idiot. And this is one where you could see why Batman uses him. He's not just he's not just like a sidekick. He's a partner. He's someone that Batman relies on. The stuff I like about this, and I've talked about this episode on this podcast, I feel like this was Batman Forever. This is what Batman Forever should have been. Mm-hmm. And because they did such a terrible job in Batman Forever at giving Robin a story. Why even have him in the movie if you're not going to give him a story? And this, in the 40 minutes, because it's a two-parter, and they probably could have cut some stuff out and put it in Batman Forever.
Yep.
But from the music, because the music's iconic. So just when Robin's driving the motorcycle while Batman, I like how this episode feels, because the entire episode is them just driving to Tony Zucco and just told in flashbacks. But it's believable that this happened in real time while they're driving, because what else are you going to show them driving the whole time? Yeah. And so you're showing the flashbacks while they're doing the drive. And I just like the way it does that. That theme that's being played when Robin's driving the motorcycle, and they also played that theme earlier in the episode when Robin was a kid searching for Tony Zuko. So it was a more aggressive version of the theme later on in the episode. I'm sure you didn't pick that up, but like,
yeah, I didn't notice at all.
Yeah, you would notice it if you watched it about a million times like I did. And that was something I picked up watching it this time. The way how Alfred is still loyal to Bruce, even when Bruce might be wrong on this one. He handled this wrong. Bruce was not... he explained himself at the end, but it was such a poor explanation. But I think Dick didn't care at that point because he was better. But like the idea of not explaining things to Robin, that this is Tony Zuko, this is why you can't come. But instead, he just shut him out completely and just made him feel like less than a man, like less than, like, I'm your freaking partner and you're not even going to let me know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, he felt betrayed. So he's angry. And then once when he found out it was Tony Zuko, that was even like the topping on the cake. They just made him even more pissed, which builds to why Batman and Robin split up to begin with, because he can't trust them. They're both in it for different reasons.
Yeah.
They might have similar crosshairs of how they became Batman and Robin, or how Batman became Batman and Robin became Robin, but they do it in such a different way. They're not the same person. They don't think the same way. Robin is caring. Robin is, he sees good in people and he wants to trust people. Batman's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Batman barely sees good in anybody. And when you get to the new adventures, he's upgraded even more to just like the ends justify the means. Where in the animated series, he smiles. He looks like he's having kind of a good time doing this.
Yeah.
Where when he gets older, it's like, it's the job. And we'll tie in old wounds with this because it all kind of connects, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because they all split up and you can see the difference between the two Batmans. You can kind of see the transformation of the Batman from this episode into that Batman because they're different, right?
Yeah.
Because as
he gets older, he just gets, I feel like it's just, he just, you just do this for so many years, you just become jaded to it.
And he treats his partners like crap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He treats them like he's the boss and he doesn't treat them as equals. You can even go to the Killing Joke and that Batgirl episode because it's the same Batman. And how he even says to Batgirl that we are, we have the same goals, but we're not equals. Meaning like he's superior to everyone else. And that can be very hard for someone like Dick Grayson to handle because it's like he's a father figure. You look up to him and you kind of want that appreciation once in a while and you never get it. Look at the Red Hood when he said thank you to him and Nightwing was just surprised that he even said thank you. That it was so out of character for him to say thank you.
Yep.
So, what was your takeaway?
It was good that he had, this is a good Robin backstory, because, like, compared to every other version of Robin that I've seen anyways, this is the only version of a backstory that actually, like, makes sense. And it was... And then at the end when I did find it amusing that Batman, that he fired his, like he got into the ceiling and actually managed to hurt Batman just from his paranoia. And so then Robin had to come save him.
That story with Zuko, like how obsessed Batman was tracking him down and how they portrayed it, that the whole city knew that Zuko was damaged goods. Like no criminal wanted anything to do with Tony Zuko. because they knew he was a dead man walking, and they wanted nothing to do with him because Batman at that time was feared by criminals.
Yeah.
And he had no idea why Batman was chasing him. That's the thing.
That was so.
He had no idea.
Like, it's like, what is he wanting you with? I have no idea. He's just obsessed with me.
You don't know the Bat like I do. This guy's obsessed with me. Why is he? Why you, boss? How should I know?
Like he almost was like getting like borderline Joker-ish there.
Yeah. Yeah, he had like this obsession with Tony Zucco, and it was what it was. I also like that, Dick Grayson goes to live with Bruce, and Bruce is never there because he thinks I don't know if he was getting Zucco for Dick or if he was getting Zucco for himself, and I feel like that's what it was. Now I'll explain it. Batman was never able to bring his parents' killer to justice. He was a young boy. There was nothing he can do about it. He sees a boy relatively his age lose his parents in a similar fashion that he lost his parents. For him, he's trying to rewrite a wrong that he couldn't do when he was a boy. So I feel like he's trying to get Zucco more for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened
right in front of him too.
Right. I feel like he's going after Zucco not to make the boy feel better, but to make himself feel better or make himself have closure that he at least brought somebody's killer to justice.
Mm-hmm. Give him the closure that he never received, basically.
And I feel like Alfred, they didn't exactly say it like that, but Alfred kind of pointed it out by saying like, well, because he said, from now on, Zucco will have my undivided attention. And Alfred's like, well, that, how lucky for Zucco, but you have a young boy up there that needs that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when he realized that, okay, I'm doing this the wrong way. And when Zucco got away, that's when he decided to include Grayson in this quest to get Zucco together almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, so again, Alfred, very few lines, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come off preachy. He didn't like try to give, he didn't have a thesaurus of information of bullshit. He just told them like, I see why you're doing this, but there is a kid up there that could use that same attention.
Yeah. See, Alfred's just his reality check on occasion.
Yes.
Because it just, he gets like this, he was just getting so obsessed with his singular goal and he just needed to be like, Alfred is there to remind him that he's also Bruce Wayne.
Right.
That's pretty much what his purpose is.
Let's say he gets Zucco. Then what? Like, there wasn't a then what. Does that make everything better? No. And I think that's what Batman realized, that it doesn't make things better. So let's, like, it's something that Dick needs to do. And that's why it was so out of character to just leave him at the Batcave while he went to go after Zucco, and his explanation was wrong. I think he's straight up lying. I think Robin's explanation made more sense. Like Robin said, I know why you left me at home. You're afraid I was going to take it too far. And Batman's like, no, not that at all. He's like, Zucco has taken so much from you, caused you so much pain. I couldn't grasp the fact of him taking you as well. Give me a break.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
He's full of shit.
He was worried that Robin was just going to go and he was just going to kill him instantly.
Yes.
And then he was going to be over that line. His whole thing is he doesn't want people to cross that line. And he knows that if he crossed that line, he wouldn't be able to come back from it.
Right. And in Young Justice, Batman talks to the Justice League and they're talking about Robin. And he even says, like, Dick needed to become Robin so he could see his parents' killer come to justice. And then Wonder Woman said, why? So he could end up like you? He said, no, the opposite. He doesn't want Robin to be him. He doesn't want Robin to be the next Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a weird line that Batman said, because this could have been something that they could have done together. That they could have, and Robin would have probably gone a little too far, but I feel like they could have had a talk in the car ride on the way there. Batman has terrible communication skills. This entire episode would have never even happened if they had a conversation, because this version of Robin seems like he's pretty reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Like you seem like you could sit him down and talk to him and he can understand you. First of all, he looks up to Batman. And I liked how after he was driving pissed the entire episode, when he had the one flashback of, you know, meeting Batman, all that kind of stuff, he's just like, he even said, like, Zuko, you're not going to be able to run from me forever. I was trained by the best.
Yeah.
And I like how we found him, too.
The putting the bat tracker on the phone?
Yeah. He just hit redial.
Of all the crime shows that I've watched, you need to keep the person in line for like at least 30 seconds to a minute for it to gain a successful tracking.
Well, Batman has better technology, I guess.
Yeah, I know. His tracker doesn't even have to be literally connected to the phone. You just put it on the outside casing and it works.
So, do you think Batman knew that Robin was going to show up there? Now, I'm going to take the other side of this. Do you think that he was testing him to see if he could find Zuko on his own and all of that?
No.
Or do you think? No? Okay.
I think Batman either. Straight up wanted to shut him out completely. And frankly, I feel like that's why I feel like Batman was trying to shut him out and take care of it real quickly before he got involved. So I feel like he was kind of rushing. And I feel like that's why he ended up getting caught by Zuko and getting injured, is because he was, rather than sitting back and surveilling him like he usually does, he just tried to sneak in right away or whatever he was doing in the ceiling. And that's how he ended up getting caught off guard and injured, is because I feel like he was trying to rush his job to get it over with real quick because he didn't want Robin to get involved.
The way how Zuko shot at the ceiling, because the one guy's like, I think it's rats. He's like, oh, bullshit. Like, rats, huh? Just open fires at the ceiling. That's how I am when I see, like, bugs on the ceiling. Mm. That would be me if I owned a gun.
I'm so disappointed that they did not make... I was expecting him to pick up and goes, yeah, rats, huh? Flying rats, and then shoot at the ceiling? That's kind of what I was that's what I was expecting him to make, like a flying rat pun, because people call bats flying rats. So I was assuming that there was going to be a flying rat pun there, and just nothing. I was so disappointed right there.
It also kind of shows that Batman took out a lot of goons just without a leg.
Yeah.
And then Robin showed up right at the right time. Robin had a mean streak in this episode too. Like it felt like, I didn't feel like Zuko had a chance against him.
No. It was. I like that Batman essentially created the. Wow, what's the thing that goes around a circle that he was on at the end?
Huh? Oh, the merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round. All I could think of was Ferris wheel. He just made like a merry-go-round like shooting gallery for Zuko. He had his goons tied up on there. He's like, no. And he was just going to, he was basically using the goons as a human shield. And Zuko was like, ah, it's going to be the odds anyways. And he was just going to open fire on him.
Yeah, you, what do you say? You get paid, you do your job, and this is like the perks of the job, or this is what could happen. You knew the risks. Like, he was going to shoot at them. He didn't care. Because to him, it's like, I got to get this bat guy out of my life because he's been following me. He tortured me. He ran me out of town. He ran me out of Gotham.
And honestly, like, of villains we've seen, this random gangster did a lot better than most of them did.
Yeah. Yeah, he was able to elude Batman forever. Granted, he had a little connection. Stromwell helped him a lot. That was his uncle. Who Stromwell does show up a couple of times in the animated series. So it's kind of cool to see his return, by the way. And Batman did the grumpy line. I also like the dude who just flat out squealed when he said, I ain't no squealer. All he had to do was just, you know, clench his fist a little bit, and the dude just told him everything.
Yeah, he just cracked his knuckles and he's like, all right, I'll tell you everything. Like,
did you like the guy at the construction site that was hanging?
Yeah.
In the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said the name's Billy Marin, and Batman knew exactly that meant that that was Tony Zuko.
Yep.
And so he made Robin go get the Batmobile. And one of my favorite lines by him is, it's you, me, and 40 stories. You're going to tell me exactly what I need to know. I always like it when they show Batman interrogate just normal street criminals. I always like that.
Yeah. And like in that moment, when you're hanging upside down, that has got to be like the most terrifying thing you ever hear. Like, especially because it basically almost looks like he sent the kid away to get serious.
Yeah.
Like he did, it was just like good cop, bad cop right there. Well, he sent Robin away, and like the bad Robin cop came in, and it's like,
Robin thought he was part of the plan, but he wasn't. He was just, now he was just, he was in the way. But yeah, definitely. This goes right into old wounds, and we get to hear the reason why they broke up. And do you think this was a good reason, or do you think that this was forced?
I feel like it's considering, but like,
obviously it was a slow build. Like, this wasn't the reason why they split up. This was just
the final straw thing.
Right.
But it's because he was beating up that guy, like, in front of his family, which I feel like is not a Batman thing to do.
Yeah, but when it comes with the joke, when I think this was had something to do with the Joker, right?
Yeah, because the Joker was there, and he was, Which Joker, they showed us, he literally had no idea.
Joker had some good lines in this, too. There was a thing where I think Batman, like, kicked the hyenas or something like that. And Joker's like, hey, do I hit your kids? Oh, wait, I do.
Your glass line.
Yeah, I didn't know it was from this episode. But yeah, from that, either you guys like picking glass out of your shorts, or you don't know where the door is, or something like that. Nice entrance. They always have to come through the ceiling.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that wasn't the reason. It was that Batman knew that Barbara was Batgirl and didn't tell Robin. That was the final straw. That his girlfriend was actually Batgirl this whole time, and he didn't know. And he felt betrayed that, you know, he thinks... I liked how he dove into Bruce Wayne's mind, too. Because a lot of people don't talk to Batman like this. That he's like, you think you wanted to join him. he does that. He puts thoughts in your head. He manipulates you to get what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that line. I think Batman says, like, I thought we had the same goals. We did. Things change. And that was the last thing he said to him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't even catch that. That was what... Okay. The things
change. He said the line, things change. Which I feel like should have been the name of this episode.
Yeah, probably.
Because that line was said a lot. Because even, you know, Tim Drake was even asking, like, whatever happened to you two? You guys used to be the dynamic duel. You know, and Nightwing said, things change. Oh, why don't you go ask Batman? I did. I'll never guess what he said. Things change.
Yeah, because he's insulting. He's like, oh, you act just like Batman. He goes, no, I don't. He was, like, insulted by that he was said that to him.
I'm nothing like him. No, he's pretty close to him. They might not think the same way, but they have the same opinion on each other. And that's the thing. Like, Nightwing quit, you know, or Robin quit, quit being with Batman, pretty much. And Batman never tried to rectify the situation. And he was just like, he kind of casted him out. Like, okay, fine. You're not part of the family anymore. Like, he casted him out. Like, he didn't try to mend the relationship. He didn't try. He didn't apologize, but he felt like he had nothing to apologize for. And because in his own mind, everything, the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
That he's in the right. It doesn't matter if people get hurt as long as he's right.
Is it that, or do you feel like him breaking off and becoming his own thing was like his graduation?
No, because he won. Okay, so when he quit being Robin, he no longer wanted to do the hero thing. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go live a normal life and be a normal person. And then he became Nightwing anyways. He found himself still like, he went to a different town. He went to Bloodhaven, which is such a stupid name for a town, by the way. He went, it sounds like a comic book city name, doesn't it? Because it is. But yeah. He goes to Bloodhaven and decides that he's going, and they never really explain what he does. The only version I can find is in Titans, because he becomes a detective in the Bloodhaven police force or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he found himself at night still putting on the Robin costume or the Robin suit and fighting criminals and that type of shit. And it was like, he didn't know why he was still doing it. He's like, this is not who I am, but he couldn't get away from it. And that's where he didn't want to be Robin anymore. So that's where he turned into Nightwing.
Does Nightwing still have the no kill rule?
Yes. In this version, yes. In Titans, no.
Okay.
In Titans, he kills. It's because he doesn't know how to control it.
Mm-hmm.
In Titans, it's like he feels that Batman trained him to be like this soldier almost, but he doesn't know how to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have Batman to guide him through it anymore. He's trying to deal with it by himself. To the point where he actually envisions Batman there with him a lot, and he's fighting, you know, this imaginary person who is Batman talking down to him and all that kind of stuff. Pretty good stuff, the way they did Batman in that show.
Mm-hmm. And I still think I still want my dedicated Nightwing show.
Yeah, I feel like you could spin it off of Titans. I feel like they should do that. Just spin Nightwing off Titans.
Yeah.
Because I don't really care about Titans. I like Nightwing in that show. The actor they have playing him is like the perfect actor for Nightwing. It totally works.
Yeah. I feel like I'll say it over and over again. I feel like a Nightwing show not even just as a streaming show. I feel like it could make it on a network.
Like, I think it could be
like if they did a Nightwing show the right way, it could be CW's next cash cow.
Oh, so you think it should be a CW? Yeah, I think you're right. I think it would only really work as a CW show just because it needs to be either connected to that universe or something. Like CW would be the perfect fit for it. Where I don't know if it would do well on like Fox or something like that.
Yeah.
Just because superhero shows don't really do well on Fox. Because Gotham kind of did well in the beginning, but then it tapered off.
Yeah. And but I feel like CW is that right niche there where I feel like it could be the next Arrow because it's very similar to Arrow.
And that's a compliment because Arrow was a successful show.
Mm-hmm.
Because Arrow was the true successor to Smallville, which was also a very successful, wasn't technically CW back then, but a very successful show for that network. I think it was UPN back then.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch Smallville?
No.
I feel like I watched
the Superman aspect. I'm just not into Superman.
I feel like it was around like season 6 or season 7. It just started to get really weird.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I gave up on it. I could be wrong on the seasons though, but there was a point where it just started getting super weird.
I did. And like I was just Krypton was on. Krypton was a pretty interesting show, but it wasn't very Superman-y. It wasn't Superman-y at all. I think that's probably why I liked it. It's all before Superman. Superman's grandfather, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's kind of has the, I don't know if you've ever seen The 100, but it kind of has a lot of the 100 vibe to it at like the beginning seasons of The 100 where they're on the Ark, where they have like really strict rules and they'll float people for violating rules. And the guy's talking about how the planet's going to explode in a certain amount of years. And he has the calculations to prove it and nobody believes him. And it's like blasphemy to even suggest it.
Yeah.
General Zod's in the show too. Like the Zod family. It's interesting. Like I think they did such a good job with it. And Lobo's in it too, which is great character. Great character. One of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Brainiac.
Really?
Yes. Okay. So do you know the story of Krypton just in general?
No. I know it blows up. That's about it.
Superman, the animated series, the first three episodes are about Krypton before Superman even was on Earth. So Superman's father kept running these calculations that the planet was going to explode due to something in the atmosphere. But he kept being told it was a crackpot theory. He was crazy, all that kind of stuff. And then he ran the calculations again, and it came up with the same result. And Brainiac was a computer made to serve the Kryptonians. He was almost looked as a god of that planet. And Brainiac kept telling him that he was crazy and don't believe him. So everyone believed Brainiac. But then Brainiac knew that his calculations were right, and he wanted the planet to explode so he could get all the information out of the planet. So Brainiac caused Krypton to explode, essentially.
Yeah.
And so because Superman's father knew that the planet was going to explode, that he had a contingency plan for him, for his wife and his child, not for himself. And because he wanted to stay with the planet to I don't know why, but he told his wife that because he was running from the police, because the police were after him, because Brainiac sent the police after him, because the planet was going to explode within a couple of hours. He found that out from Brainiac, because Brainiac told him. And so he came back home and told his wife what the plan. His wife never believed him, ever. But she said that, okay, whenever you say it's that time, I'll go with you. I'll believe you. So they put Clark in the pod to send him off to Earth. Now, he didn't just crash into Earth because he just was floating in space and just crashed into Earth. They sent him to Earth because it was a world similar to theirs that they figured that he'd be able to survive their atmosphere, all that kind of stuff. They didn't know about the whole him having powers or anything like that. They didn't know any of that. So they sent him, and then there was enough room in the pod for his wife to go in, but she chose to stay with her husband. So they just sent him.
Wow, that's an awful mother.
Right. I'm like, I can't believe she didn't, because I think he said it would take a little extra time, but he could run the calculations and get her, because he had a contingency plan for her. But I think she said it was too risky, that we needed to get him off the planet now.
Mm.
So no, I don't think she did choose to stay, but she didn't want to risk, because then there was a chance they both might not have made it.
Mm.
So they sent him. And then the planet exploded and everyone on Krypton died. And then Brainiac comes to Earth about 30 years later.
So how does the city in the bottle come to be?
He collects worlds.
So did he collect the city before it was blown up then, or what?
Yeah, he collected memories of it. He collects memories. So he brought Clark, or Superman onto his ship because Luthor made connections with Brainiac from some alien life form, and he wanted to. They had a deal where he would give Luthor technology, and Luthor would exchange information about Superman. He didn't know that Brainiac was there to kill Superman. So he invited Superman onto his ship, Brainiac did, and was showing him that, because Superman didn't know that Brainiac killed Krypton. He had no idea, because he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed him memories of Krypton. And he wanted him to, like, stay with him and that kind of stuff. And, you know, pretty much he was just going to capture him, essentially. And put him in his little world bubble thing. And so, but then Superman, when he went home and when he went to sleep, and he dreamt everything that happened at Krypton, because something mixed with his powers and Brainiac's ship that he dreamt all of it. And so he told Luthor everything. And Luthor said, like, I already had a plan in place in case he wasn't, cordial, like that he thought Brainiac was evil from the moment he saw him. He just didn't care. He wanted the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But Superman's able to defeat Brainiac, and Brainiac runs back into space, essentially. Long story short.
Interesting.
The way how Lobo is introduced in that, it's interesting too, is Lobo gets paid by something that's similar to Brainiac, but he's a person who likes to collect the last remaining member of races or species. So he's got, like, the dodo bird. He's got, like, all these extinct animals from Earth and then other planets. So he puts a big bounty on Superman, and he sends Lobo after Superman.
Hmm. People then, just like to collect things in the universe, apparently.
Yeah. And then, guy's going really close to my car. And then Lobo, after Lobo turns Superman in, the guy also takes Lobo because he's the last remaining member of his race, too.
Hmm.
They asked, he even asked him, are you the last remaining member of your race? He's like, yep, I genocided my planet. It was fun times. He destroyed his own planet because he thought it would be funny.
Okay. Interesting.
So then Superman and Lobol work together to get off the planet. And they kind of have like an understanding that they're not going to cross paths again. And that's probably why he doesn't show up on Earth until after Superman dies. He comes back. Because I think he felt like he needed to pay Superman's debt.
Okay.
It's all connected. It's really interesting because I'm watching it out of order because I saw all of Justice League. And Justice League is pretty much a continuation of Superman. But I never saw Superman.
Yeah.
But that was a tangent cast at the end there, but at least we left it for the end. Next week we're going to do Justice League The New Frontier, which is a older take on the Justice League. It's supposed to be the classic Justice League. So I think it's Batman, Robin, but it's like more of the... I mean, Batman's dark, but it's the Batman from the comics before he was dark.
Okay.
Wonder Woman, it's all their old... I think Flash has the helmet, so it's the older heroes. Also, a little DC news. Did you see who's going to be playing, voicing Batman in The Long Halloween?
No.
My operative sent it to me. It's going to be the guy who played Dean Winchester, so Red Hood. He's going to play Batman.
Interesting.
The Long Halloween, which is supposed to be coming out this spring or summer. So we should be reviewing it on season one of Batcast.
All right.
And then also, I'll talk about it next week too, but we plan on doing the new 52 movies in our second season of this pod, for anyone that's wondering why we haven't done those yet. But we're going to do them in order over the air. So with that, who am I today? I will be Bob Kane alongside Billy Finger. And we'll be back next week.
Ms. Gordon, I heard you've discovered our little secret. Yes, I admit it. I am Batman.